It's good to be with you this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Hebrews 11, looking at verse 7. Hebrews 11, looking at verse 7. Let's pray before we dive in. Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day that we're able to gather together. What a privilege it is for us to hear each other sing, see each other sing, and rejoice together in the gospel that Christ died for our sin, but he did not stay in the grave. He rose. So, Father, this morning, may we see Jesus. May we reflect upon this good news for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be primarily looking at verse 7 today, but I'll be reading verses 1 to 7 in Hebrews chapter 11. God's word says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." This is God's word. So many of us may be familiar with this story, the story of Noah and the ark. Noah hears from God, builds an ark, gets in the ark with two of every living thing, and God floods the earth. All of this is true, yet there's more to this account. And this morning we'll read primarily of Noah from Genesis chapters 6 to 10, and I'll reference these chapters throughout the sermon this morning. So feel free to turn to them or write them down as I reference them. This morning, it would be easy for us to take this text and say, Christ is the ark. Place your faith in Christ. You will be saved from destruction. The Bible is teaching us this, but not just this. It's intending to show that God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping, covenant-fulfilling God. Noah's faith was rooted in the Messiah to come. Faith rooted in the Messiah, the King who would save sinners, is not just a New Testament idea. There's a long line of Old Testament saints saved by faith. In the Old Testament, Jesus Christ the Messiah is concealed. He is not yet revealed, but every page of the Old Testament speaks of the one who would come to crush the head of the serpent, conquer death, and redeem his people once for all. And then in the New Testament, we see the King. The King is revealed, who is Christ, and he has come. And so we should repent, turn from our sin, and trust in him. And as we look at this passage this morning, as we look at Hebrews 11:7 today, 2 points for us as we walk through this text. The first is a true faith leads to an obedience in God's word. A true faith leads to an obedience in God's word. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. The second point is a true faith leads to trust in God's provision. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So let's dive into our first point this morning, that true faith leads to obedience in God's word. Scripture starts off in verse 7 by saying, by faith, Noah. This is continuing the description of those who have come before and have walked and who have lived by faith. And if you turn to Genesis 6, we'll look at verses 9 to 12. We'll see a description of Noah. Genesis 6, verses 9 to 12. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So in this portion of this passage of Scripture, Noah is said to be righteous. He is the first person in Scripture where there's a reference to being righteous. He was blameless among a wicked generation. I think many times we try to put ourselves in the shoes of those like Noah and compare Noah's generation to the wickedness of our generation. Are both generations wicked? Is Noah's generation wicked? Yes. Is our generation wicked? Yes. But Noah was alone. Noah was alone with his family among his wicked generation. We have the church. We have the church. We have fellow brothers and sisters who should be pursuing the Lord in holiness. We can encourage each other in the preached word. We can hear each other and see each other sing. And yes, we have a worldwide pandemic, but even during COVID-19, we've had the ability to communicate, to fellowship, and encourage other believers in Christ. Noah's whole generation was in opposition to God and to him. But does this not give further weight to the warning passages in Hebrews? The writer in Hebrews is telling Jewish Christians to press on in faith. Persecution and trouble will always follow the saints of Christ in this life. But we are called to press on. Hebrews 2:1 says, pay much closer attention. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. 4:1 says, let us fear. 4:11 says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, we see in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. And then verse 24, let us consider. So Hebrews is a letter to believers who face persecution and death. And then we are reminded of Noah in 11:7. He was a righteous man in a wicked generation. Press on. Brothers and sisters, press on. Consider those who have come before as we seek the city that is to come. By faith, Noah was warned by God about things not yet seen. Let's look at Genesis 6, verses 13 to 22. Genesis 6, verses 13 and 22. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. In these verses, we see that God shows what is going to happen because of man's rebellion. Destruction to the whole earth would come. Yet God shows grace in commanding Noah to build the ark to escape the flood to come. And there was a specific design God had for the ark. Noah followed God's word completely. And Noah honored God in his labor. God spoke and Noah did. He did all that the Lord commanded him. He did not take a shortcut. He did not cheapen God's command and take an easy way out. Do we work in this manner? Do we follow the Lord like this? Are you like Noah, taking God at his word to flee the destruction to come? Noah showed that he took God by his word by preparing for the day that had not come before. Even though he had not yet seen a worldwide flood, Noah believed that God would do it because God said. Noah's faith was in things not yet seen. And building an ark in his day would have been seen as ridiculous. He was probably mocked for it. If you go to northern Kentucky, you can see a visible scale of the ark. And they tried to replicate it as close as they could. The ark was not some small endeavor. But Noah trusted in God by faith, taking God at his word, and his faith followed in obedience. Noah's faith and the faith of his wicked generation were in opposition. They were in opposition. But Noah in faith did all that God commanded him. And although Noah did not yet see this event of the flood, his faith was not blind. Noah knew that what God said would happen because he is not a God who breaks his word. Noah knew that the flood would affect the world. And Noah's faith is not blind, as our culture may attribute to us or to him. Noah's faith was rooted in the sovereign king who spoke. This is a divine warning. When the king speaks, his people listen. Noah's hope was not in the creation, but in the king over all creation. In this letter to the Hebrews, we're reminded at the beginning with the importance of God speaking. Hebrews 1:1 says, or starts off by saying, long ago at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. So for the Christian, we're to be encouraged. God spoke to Noah, and Noah, by faith, built an ark. In these last days, God has spoken in his Son. The Lord Jesus is the heir of all things, who created the world and upholds the universe by the word of his power. This Jesus took on flesh to redeem his people from their sin, so that those who come to him by faith will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you come to Christ by faith? Is he your Redeemer and Lord? And are you trusting in God's word by faith? We, like Noah, have been warned about concerning events, about future events. And in the church, there is no debate that Jesus is coming back. We know he's coming back. The question is when. So Christian, are you longing? Are you longing for the return of the King? Are you warning others of the destruction to come if they do not place their faith in Christ or run inside the ark? Next part of Hebrews 11:7 is Noah in reverent fear, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Noah prepared the ark in reverence, or as the ESV has translated it, reverent fear. And by this translation, the ESV is intending to show Noah's reverent fear, his awe or regard for God. And this word for reverence here has the similar form that is used in Jeremiah 5:22. Do you not fear me? So Noah is aware. He is aware of who is speaking to him. Noah is aware who he is dealing with. Noah believed what God said and in reverent fear did what God told him to do. Noah's faith was found in God who told him to go build, and Noah belonged to God. He was not the world's. And Noah knew that this was the Lord of all creation. This was the Lord of all creation speaking to him and addressing him. And Noah also understood that to know God, you must fear him. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We know who God is by our reverent fear or reverent trust. As it was for Noah and as it is for believers, the more we grow in our relationship with God, the more there is reverent awe or reverent regard for God. And in the account of the flood, we are also aware of God hating sin and wickedness. Psalm 5 says, God does not delight in wickedness, and he abhors the evildoer. The flood account of Noah in Hebrews is mentioned because God hates sin. God hates wickedness. And in Genesis, the only way to flee the destruction of a worldwide flood was by the ark. The only way for one of us to flee the destruction to come is by Christ. He is our refuge. So Noah shows reverent fear because God is a holy God. He's the consistent sovereign of the cosmos. And yet our culture may tell us that we are entitled to anything. But if we have been made from dust, we should not have this sense of entitlement, thinking that we deserve something, that we deserve grace. If grace is measured on the basis of works, grace ceases to be grace. God is not some evil tyrant in the heavens, nor is he a puppy dog who is cute and fluffy. We are in his world, his order. God is a holy God who does not have to save anyone because of our sin. He did not have to save Noah. Yet our King shows sweet sovereign grace by speaking. And Noah prepares an ark. The mystery here is not why does God hate sin. The mystery is why does he extend grace to the children of dust? Frail children of dust, feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. The Lord of all creation in his loving kindness showed sweet sovereign grace to Noah, and he shows sweet sovereign grace to those in Christ. Let's look at Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 to 16. Genesis 7, verses 1 to 16. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Noah acts in obedience by building the ark. Noah did not cheapen his way out in preparing the ark. He did what the Lord required. And the Lord shut Noah and his family in the ark. They had security in the ark because the Lord was over it. And the Lord provided provision from the destruction ahead. The second point for this morning is that true faith leads to trust in God's provision. True faith leads to trust in God's provision. The next portion of Hebrews 11:7 is the phrase, "by which he condemned the world." By which he condemned the world. So how was the world condemned? The world was condemned because of their sin and wickedness. The fall of Adam affected every single person. And no one of Noah's generation was righteous because they did not pursue a righteousness by faith. And so God condemned the world by pronouncing judgment of a flood. God provided provision for Noah by the ark. And by God providing the ark, this was rebuke, this was judgment against the way in which the generation, Noah's generation, had lived. This was rebuke and judgment against wickedness. God does not take sin lightly. He does not think lightly about sin. And then we can read the account in verses 17 to 24 of the flood. Starting in verse 17, "The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So this wicked generation, Noah's wicked generation, had their own pursuits. And they were condemned by their sin, their disobedience to God's commands, and they were blotted out from the earth, as verse 23 says. The question for us this morning is, in reverent fear, are we trusting in God's provision that is Christ the Son? If you are not in Christ, do not think that God takes your sin lightly. Remember this account. Remember this account if you think God is okay with your sin. I've heard some say that by your faith in Christ, you will not face storms in this life, that you will not have seasons of struggle or doubt. And if you do, it's because of your lack of faith. And yet Hebrews 11 shows quite the opposite. The Christian will face storms or troubled seasons. But the good news is, who is with us in the midst of those seasons? In the valley and on the mountaintop, the Lord of all is with his people by faith. He guided Noah on the ark. And so for the Christian, he has you in his grip. He has you in his grip. He is holding you fast. Over the last few months, my daughter has been learning to walk, and then, you know, since COVID, she's been running now. And with her running, she sometimes will fall. But I'm with her. Me and my wife are right there with her. And when she falls and when she cries, we're going to wrap our arms around her and say, "We love you. We have you. You're good." But how much more does the King of Heaven have his people? How much more does the Lord? How much more does the Lord have his people in his grip? The Lord had Noah and his family in the ark, in his grip. How much more does the Lord of all, who knows our struggles, who knows the seasons of life that we go through, care for us? He has us. He has us in his grip. And as the Lord cared for Noah and his family in the ark, the world was condemned. The world's fruit of wickedness was shown in condemnation of the flood. And grace was shown to Noah in the ark. Today, run to the ark of Christ. Jesus said in John 3:18 that whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. If you long for your sins to be forgiven and to have a relationship with the King of Heaven, run to the ark of Christ, to the cross of Christ, where he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin for those who come by faith. In Christ, his tender mercies are new every morning. So rejoice in God's provision. Our last phrase this morning in Hebrews 11:7. Noah became an heir of righteousness. He became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. And this is a righteousness that is by faith alone. Noah's righteousness was not in the ark. The ark saved Noah's family from the flood, but did not save their souls. Noah's works did not justify him, but his works reveal the fruit or the root of his faith. He had faith in God and then went to build. His faith in God was looking forward to the coming Messiah, and God declared Noah righteous by faith. So Noah trusted in God and God's provision. He was not justified before God by the work of the ark. He was justified by faith, looking forward, and became an heir of righteousness. Hebrews 10:38 says, "The righteous one will live by faith." And we look back to Genesis. In Genesis 8, we see the flood waters recede. And then in Genesis 9, God establishes a covenant with Noah. And we'll read Genesis 9, verses 7 to 17. God's word says, "And you be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, 'Behold, I will establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth.' And God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth.' God said to Noah, 'This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth.'" So on this Noahic covenant, Sam Renahan says, "Noah's covenant is not a covenant of salvation or eternal life. The success or failure of Noah and mankind in obedience will neither bring them eternal life, nor will it bring them eternal death. Man is already condemned in Adam, and the only escape known at the time was God's promise concerning the offspring of Eve that would crush the serpent's head from Genesis 3:15. So this Noahic covenant is not one in which we receive salvation, but this covenant is an echo of what we have seen given to Adam in Eden. Be fruitful and multiply, which is the general call to all mankind. And it's pointing forward to the covenant in Christ. The next time it rains and we see a rainbow outside, we should be reminded that God is not a covenant-breaking God. He is a covenant-fulfilling God. And this covenant is pushing us forward to the hope we have in the new covenant with Christ. It's one of the main points of the book of Hebrews that Christ has fulfilled all things. Jesus lived a perfect life and died a perfect substitutionary death in our place. And if we've come to Him by faith, trusting in Him by faith, He is our prophet, priest, and king who intercedes for us on the throne. The gospel does not promise you riches, success, fame, or fortune. When you come to Christ, you get God. You have a relationship with the King of heaven. So press on. Press on. Do not turn back. As Noah looked to God's provision, God saved Noah from the flood by faith. We should look to God and His provision for us. We were rebels. We were rebels. And yet by God's grace, He gave us His Son. We are a people who are called to trust by faith in God and His promises. This earthly kingdom will have its day and meet its end, but the kingdom of the Lord will reign forever. Rejoice, rejoice in God's provision in Christ. Hebrews 11:7 teaches us that a true faith leads to obedience in God's word, and a true faith leads to trust in God's provision. Are we like Noah, resting in God's word, resting in God's provision, resting in God's providence? Run to the ark of Christ. We only get one life. It will soon pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Our King of heaven, We thank you for this morning, for this privilege to be gathered together. Father, for those who are trusting in Christ, may we continue to press on in the faith. May we run and not grow weary. But Father, for those who are not trusting in Christ this morning, may you convict them of their sin. That they may turn and trust in the King of all. May they run to the ark where there's provision. Father, this morning may we run to Christ for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.